Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The holiday shopping frenzy is in full force, and today's the day you're being urged to shop at those smaller mom-and-pop stores. CBS's Linda Kenyon on Small Business Saturday.
They urge shoppers to spend their dollars at smaller establishments to help local business owners compete in the retail marketplace. With inflation taking a bite out of available dollars and consumers spending frugally, shopping small is seen as a way to shop smart and help neighborhood businesses stay in your neighborhood.
And it looks like Black Friday was a huge success. Early estimates from Adobe show Americans spent around $9 billion at stores and online yesterday. That's a new record. But on Black Friday, some Amazon workers all across the globe went on strike. KMLV reporter Gabrielle Vidal.
Amazon workers stepping out.
We're individual, we're people, we're not machines.
Surrounded by supporters to demand better working conditions.
There is a cost to their two-day shipping. There's a cost on everybody that works here.
Learning more about the suspect who shot up a Walmart in Virginia.
Police say the 31-year-old Walmart supervisor who fatally shot six co-workers at a store in Chesapeake, Virginia, legally purchased the handgun he used just hours before the killings. He also left a note on his phone accusing colleagues of mocking him, according to police.
CBS's Jim Crisula tells us those co-workers describe him as being difficult and hostile. After the latest Russian missile strikes, more than 130,000 are without power in Ukraine. Crews are working around the clock trying to get it restored. President Zelensky with a message to his people.
The key task at hand this week is the rebuilding of power infrastructure. Please use electricity sparingly.
Your Yeti or Hydro Flask always with you wherever you go. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez tells us you may not need to drink that much water.
Struggle to down at least 8 glasses of water a day? A new study concludes the old 8x8 rule is flawed. Co-author Dale Scholler at the University of Wisconsin-Madison says science never supported the guideline because it confuses total turnover with water from other beverages and what you get in the food you eat. The research shows much depends on age, gender, and level of physical activity.
Well, the flu is spreading rapidly. RSV is putting more kids in the hospital, and not many people are getting their COVID booster shots. Dr. Rachel Herlihy.
We continue to see an increasing trend as far as influenza and COVID-19 go. For RSV, we also continue to see pretty high levels.
She says this triple-demic is of big concern, especially during the holiday season. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Sail with American Queen Voyages, where history comes alive and discovery runs deep. Enriching adventures await in North America's mighty rivers, great lakes, oceans, and expeditions to the wilds of Alaska. Visit American Queen Voyages at aqvoyages.com, cruising North America now. Call 844-744-0794 or contact your travel professional. American Queen Voyages. Discovery runs deep.
Dell Technologies' Black Friday event has arrived with select deals on top tech to power business productivity. The savings start now with up to 50% off select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, including free shipping on everything. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for Black Friday deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly sunny skies today with highs around 54. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 32. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 41. Cloudy skies expected Monday with highs in the low 40s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
WFHR Weather is sponsored by Hartle Monuments, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids. The monument you create will be remembered by family and friends for years to come. Hartle Monuments will make it special. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, high-tech camel wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, the world's leader in wetlands conservation. Now a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio and always a supporter of duck hunters everywhere. Ducks.org. I'm Dan Small. Today, Jeff and I will report on our opening weekend hunts up in Bayfield and Douglas counties, and we'll talk with Mike Arnold about his new book, Bringing Back the Lions. It's a fascinating story. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal, year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com, and all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. And Mike Hupe, who is also the president of Milwaukee Crime Stoppers, has announced that he will pay a $25,000 reward for the next anonymous tip that solves a homicide case. So if you've got a tip on an unsolved homicide case, visit MilwaukeeCrimeStoppers.com. Well, joining me from Wisconsin Rapids, back from his opening weekend hunt up in Douglas County, Jeff Kelm. Well, Jeff, welcome back. You had a good hunt.
Yes, Dan, about as good as you could ask for anywhere in the state.
Yeah. Well, let's save the details until after the break, but I want to know what you thought of our Northwoods opening weekend weather.
It was cold, Dan. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was cold, but, you know, we dressed properly and prepared properly, and, you know, I think part of the best part of the story was just how much fun we had. Even in the blind, you know, we'll talk about the deer hunting later, but in the blind, Dan, we were making hot dogs. We made hot cocoa. Yeah. I mean, we just had a good time. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, did you have snow flurries over there on Saturday?
You know, we really didn't. There was, for maybe less than 5 minutes, a few flakes fell, but no snow flurries.
Yeah. Well, we were on the other side of the Bayfield Peninsula. Both of our groups were hunting within a rifle shot of Lake Superior, I would guess, and mm-hmm. we had snow off and on most of Saturday morning, and a 20-mile-an-hour wind. I didn't measure it, but that's what they told us. It sure felt like it, and 20 degrees and 20-mile-an-hour wind, I call that a 2020 opening weekend or opening day. It was cold. I wore my Huntworth Heat Boost bibs, they're camouflage, but underneath that Huntworth Blaze orange jacket, I won't say I was comfortable, but I didn't get too cold. And you know, when I had to move a little bit, I got up, moved around, and I think we all did. But boy, if you're in a tree stand and you had that northwest wind in your face, it was memorable, is the way I put it. Well, we will hear details about your hunt after our break, but I can summarize our hunt pretty quickly. We had six guys hunting John's property in Bayfield County, and it was uneventful except for one moment when John's friend Blake Gross shot his first buck on Saturday morning.
Good for him.
He had a great time. He joined us last year for the first time. He's an adult, but he never got into hunting, you know, but like so many people you and I know, they think, well, you know what, maybe I'll try it. And he enjoyed it last year, but John decided, you know what, I should really mentor Blake, and He shared the double ladder stand with him from which John has shot, I can't tell you how many deer he's killed from that tree, from two different hanging stands. And we finally hung the, you know, put up the double ladder a couple of years ago. And he and Blake sat side by side all morning and took turns taking brief breaks because you got to have somebody alert. Mm-hmm. And at one point, he saw one coming, gave Blake a nudge, said, "Here he comes." And the deer stepped off the neighbor's property onto the trail, and Blake dropped him with a perfect shot. I think he caught the aorta or something above the heart. I helped him field dress it, and the deer just barely turned around and dropped in a heap, which is the way you you like to see it. So it was it was a great hunt for him.
Yeah, good deal.
For sure. Yeah, and the rest of us, everybody but me saw a deer. I never saw one, but nobody else had a shot. So it was unfortunately a typical opening weekend for us. We see deer. We don't typically get too many. This year we only got the one. But there were plenty of tracks, and I'm looking at going back up for the four-day antlers. Well, I want to hear, and I know everybody else wants to hear, the story of your hunt, and we'll do that after the break. And then we'll talk with Mike Arnold, who tells us how the North American model of wildlife conservation, where hunters pay for wildlife management, is now working to save habitat and game and non-game species alike in Africa. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Have more success on the ice with the LiveScope Plus Ice Fishing Bundle LI from Garmin. Drill fewer holes, catch more fish. This portable live sonar bundle comes with the LiveScope Plus system, EchoMap UHD 93SV display, and a lithium battery. All packaged in a case, making hole hopping a breeze. LiveScope Plus helps you find more fish with improved resolution, reduced noise, clearer images, and better target separation. Fill your freezer with fillets with help from Garmin. Visit Garmin.com or shop your local Garmin dealer today.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small, and Jeff Kelm is with me here on the phone. And as we mentioned in our opening remarks, he had a great hunt up in Douglas County. Jeff, tell us how that went down. It was you and Robert and some friends, right?
Yep, hunting a friend's property. He just had bought it last December. We're coming up on a one-year anniversary, and we hadn't gone through a gun deer season up there. It was a property that was used for hunting, but not real hard. The guy lived in Minnesota prior to that had owned the property and would come over now and then. And so there's a bunch of work that we can get done up there to really enjoy it. But Adam and his wife live on the property now, and they've really had a chance to kind of just now see throughout the fall season what the deer pattern is. And so we got ourselves set up in some blinds. Some of the guys decided they were going to sit in some tree stands or saddles. That didn't last real long in that cold weather. We talked about that earlier, Dan. It was cold, and I had prepared Robert and I for sitting in a blind and ended up, you know, multiple layers of clothes and hand warmers and a heater and the whole nine yards to make sure that we were warm. And that worked out well. I mean, as far as comfortability, we were good. All we needed to make happen is make some deer appear.
Yeah. Well, did you wear your Huntworth bibs? I mentioned that I did.
Yeah, both the Huntworth pants and jacket. I just put a blaze orange vest over the top of my camo Huntworth Heat Boost jacket, and that's what I typically wear. And my vest has been with me now for that's probably going on a decade for that one. So, that worked out well.
Well, good. It's too bad they don't make kids' sizes because Robert would have been maybe more comfortable. But you say you were fine.
Yeah, we were good. We were good. Tucked into that blind, you know, closed up a couple more windows that we maybe, you know, could have had open. But really where our shooting window was right directly in front of us. And that's where it needed to be.
Okay. So what happened?
Yeah. So we get into the blind, get ourselves set up. And it wasn't too long after daybreak when we had some does and fawns come into the food plot, probably about a half hour or so after daylight. And they started milling around. It wasn't a food plot. It was a spot that threw a little bit of corn out, which is legal in Douglas County. And they were coming through and feeding. And after about 10 minutes, we were trying to get a shot on one of those does. And where Robert was sitting, it was just there was too much stuff in between him and the deer. And he didn't feel comfortable shooting. You know, he could see ahead. But when he would bring the crosshairs down, he would lose sight of where the body and the vitals were. And, you know, you could take a guess, and a lot of guys would have, but Robert was not comfortable doing so. Then he was really good at communicating with that with me. You know, where I was sitting in the blind just off the side a little bit, I could see a clear shot on the vitals. He couldn't, and he didn't pull the trigger. So we were kind of milling around back and forth doing that, and then we saw the deer starting to turn back and looking from where they came from, which was from a hillside. We couldn't see over the ridge of that hill. And out of the blue, here comes this real beautiful 8-point buck. And he comes in. He's clearly looking for a doe. The big doe that we just about were able to put a shot on had ran off to our left-hand side. And I think she ran far enough where she winded us a bit, because the reaction of the buck was immediate alertness, like something's up, something's weird. Mm-hmm. And he was standing in the same place that doe was just eating. So I don't think he alerted, you know, he didn't pick up anything. I think she did, and he was following her cues. So we knew it was a pretty quick little batch. Robert could kind of see where the buck was, but couldn't get a shot on the vitals. I had a perfect quarter to put it right through the shoulder type shot through the windows of the blind that I was looking at. And we were just, you know, it was kind of like, Robert, you want me to shoot it? He said, no. Because if we're under the mentor rules, we have only one weapon between the two of us. So the gun was in the tripod in front of him. But I certainly was more than willing to, you know, lean that sucker over and shoulder it myself. But what I did do, it kind of in the last second, that buck did one big stomp of his foot. And so I knew he was on edge. Is I grabbed the tripod and I just pulled it towards me. And that was enough to get that gun into that window. And Robert went with the gun. He kept it shouldered, and he pulled the trigger right at the sweet time, right in the middle of that shoulder. He pulled the trigger. He got that Henry rifle, 243. We bought him for Christmas last year. That buck immediately started to kind of, I call it a half bulldoze. I mean, he didn't fully go down. You know, you get that brisket where they just rub it on the ground and when you really put the hurt on him. But he kind of, I mean, he hunched like that and took off. And we thought, all right, he's going to go down. And what ended up being, Dan, is we followed a blood trail over the course of the day and into the evening that stretched over a mile. And he got him. He placed a great shot on him. Would have never have told him to do it any different with any other weapon. The deer absolutely, it was an absolute fatal hit. It just took a long time for that deer to go. And it was just kind of interesting. We're talking about how tough those Northwoods deer are, how tough they've got to be just naturally, because it's just so hard to live up there. And it took him a long time to expire, but we did get to him, and we were able to bring him home. And Robert was absolutely elated when we were able to call back on the radio and let him know we had found his deer. And And in the meantime, we went back to the blind about midday to kind of settle in for the afternoon hunt, because he did have a statewide youth tag that's an antlerless tag that he could use. And we were still looking to peg one of those does that was milling around. And so after things had settled down, about 3:30, 4 o'clock, we had about 3:30, a doe came in alone. And we, again, were trying to figure out how to get a shot on her. Could not figure it out. Robert, again, could see her head when she lifted up, but when the grass and stuff was just not quite in the right place, yet I, in the corner of the blind, could see vitals clearly. So after she left, she was in, you know, for another 10 minutes. Then she did catch our wind and kind of bounded off without blowing or anything like that. I said, Robert, we're going to switch spots. So I moved his chair, the tripod, his gun, all of that around within the blind without getting out. It was just this crazy fire drill trying to get it done.
Oh, yeah.
We moved him so that he was in this corner. I thought, okay, maybe if another set of deer come in, now he can get a clear shot, because I could see the whole time he couldn't. And Dan, I'm telling you, that was exactly what we needed. It was only about 20 minutes later, right around 4 o'clock or so, a doe and a couple fawns came in, and Robert was able to wait for the right shot. We had to communicate a number of times of don't shoot, the fawn is behind that doe. And, you know, we wanted to make sure we were putting on a clean shot. Robert laid a shot high shoulder in that doe. She bounded off not 35, 40 yards and expired very quickly. And it was just so much fun, Dan, to see. So he filled both his tags. And another side story, while we were looking for his buck during the day, we kicked another buck out of its bed. I thought it was Robert's buck. So I shot it because I was the one wielding the 243 at the time while we were walking around looking for his deer. Sure. I shot it thinking it was going to be his deer. When we got up to it, it was a different buck. So I filled my buck tag. Robert filled his buck tag and his doe tag. So we tagged out. We slept in on Sunday morning. It was awesome.
Wow. Wow. And those were the only deer your crew got, I guess.
It was the only deer. Yep. Others saw does, a couple small bucks, but nothing else that we were going to shoot. And, you know, the buck I shot, you know, I probably would have let it walk at any other time. I actually thought, because Robert's blood trail deer went into the same bedding area, I, you know, the heat of the moment, I saw the antlers, I saw, you know, I saw the blood trail. I was like, that's got to be your deer. And it wasn't. It was a totally different deer. I could tell it was an absolute legal, you know, legal buck. But we got up to it. It was like, nope, your blood trail continues that way, and this is my deer now. So it was just crazy. Wow. Yeah, it was an insane series of events. Funnier part about that is where I shot my buck was the exact same. There was a fork in the road in Robert's blood trail and my deer. I shot that deer right where Robert's deer at one point was standing.
Oh, my.
And then my deer went off another 10 yards and died, and his continued on another 3/4 of a mile from where that point was.
Wow. So he's got to be excited and hooked now if he wasn't before.
Oh, yeah. He's
three
talking
deer
about,
in his
yeah.
first year.
Yeah, he's talking about next year already, and he's all excited, and yeah, he loves deer hunting. We did a little what are you thankful for at school this last week, and he was the... What were you thankful for in nature? He said deer. Favorite or most thankful memory was deer hunting with Dad. It was. He's got mine, Dan. We got him hooked.
Wonderful. Well, that's a great story, and I'm glad you had a successful hunt. And gosh, looking forward to more years of hunting with him, I'm sure.
Many, many more. You bet.
All right. Great story, folks. We'll be back with more right after this.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Most of us won't have a chance to hunt in Africa, but we still find African safaris intriguing. Whether we're reading a Hemingway novel, a story by Robert Ruark or Craig Boddington, or watching a hunting show on the Outdoor Channel, And you might be interested to know that in some African countries, what we call the North American model of conservation, where hunters foot the bill for wildlife management, is helping bring back many game and non-game species to viable population levels. And joining us now to talk about this particular phenomenon in one African country, Mozambique, is Professor Mike Arnold. He's a distinguished research professor of genetics at the University of Georgia, and he's also a lifelong hunter, a prolific outdoor writer with more than 150 articles in Sports Afield, Safari Magazine, African Hunting Gazette, and other publications to his credit. His new book, and that's why we're talking to him today, Bringing Back the Lions, International Hunters, Local Tribespeople, and the Miraculous Rescue of a Doomed Ecosystem in Mozambique, documents one success story that serves as a model for others. And the book was recently named by the Big Game Hunting blog as one of the 15 best African hunting books ever written, ranking alongside Hemingway's Green Hills of Africa, Capstick's Death in the Long Grass, and even Teddy Roosevelt's African Game Trails. And his website, where you can read more about what he's up to, is MikeArnoldOutdoors.com. Well, Mike Arnold, welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dan. I'm really, really excited to be here.
Our mutual friend Karen Leto sent me a copy of your book. That's some pretty heady company your book is ranked with: Roosevelt, Hemingway, Capstick. Congratulations on that. It's a great book. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. And boy, I was very humbled when they put it into that crowd of books. I didn't tell my family about it because I think they would have just rolled their eyes.
And I think it's well-deserved. And we'll get into the book, but how did you get wind of this story to begin with?
You know, I was asked to write a series of articles on some of the stakeholders in conservation in Africa. And I chose a set of folks who are invested all in a bunch of different countries, but Mozambique is one of their focuses. Those folks were Ivan Carter, Dan Cabela, Mary Cabela, and Mark Haldane. And these guys and gals, because Mary obviously is the matriarch of the Cabela family, they have invested money and time and just an incredible amount of energy to bring back an area in Mozambique called Catata 11. It's a hunting concession. Catata is Portuguese for a hunting concession, is what that word means. And it used to be a paradise back 1960s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And then, you know, like a lot of places in Africa, there were civil wars, war of independence, and that sort of thing. And poaching habitat loss just really destroyed this whole area in the Zambezi Delta. So I wrote these articles, though, about this area that had been brought back and based around these folks' lives. And I got an idea about writing a book about it. And I asked Mark Haldane, who is the outfitter there, who's concessionaire of Catata 11, I said, what do you think about having a book written? And I was supposed to go in 2020 and do all the book research, but of course something happened in 2020. And they closed Mozambique down and I couldn't get in. So I went last year and spent months there, along with my wife, who's my photographer and videographer, and she's a non-hunter, which is ironic, but she's not an anti-hunter. But anyway, we spent lots and lots of time there interviewing people, interviewing locals, seeing what was going on, and I want hunters to enjoy it, but it's really designed as an explanation and as an illustration of a model of how hunting brings back whole areas through funds and that sort of thing. But it's really designed to speak to non-hunters as much as it is hunters. That was my goal with it anyway.
What kind of reception are you getting from non-hunters?
Very good receptions. Actually, I have not had any kind of vitriolic, I guess I would say, pushback. Now it might happen, but I haven't had that kind of experience yet with someone reading it and getting upset about it, that it talks about hunting. Anecdotally, I have a very good friend who, she actually is a member of PETA, believe it or not. She and her husband are good friends of ours. They know I'm a hunter. She won't go into my trophy room, but she wanted to read this book. Mm. Kathy wanted to read the book. And I said, Kathy, it's not a chapter after chapter after chapter about me hunting, but there are pictures of animals that I've hunted in there and all this sort of thing, and I do talk about hunting. Well, she still wanted to read it, and when she read it, and then she wanted to meet. And I kidded with my wife, Frances. I said, do you think, I have a carry permit. So anyway, we met, and the first words out of Kathy's mouth was, you've changed my mind. She did not mean that she thinks people ought to hunt necessarily. It doesn't mean that she wants to hunt. Doesn't mean that she wants to take up firearm, shooting or anything like that. She said, what you proved to me was that hunting can indeed fund restoration of, sets of ecosystems, but also rejuvenation of human population and increasing the quality of living by orders of magnitude for humans. And that's what she meant. And so that's what I'm hoping for. I'm not really trying to evangelize folks for hunting necessarily. Would I love to see everybody out there hunting? Of course I would, because I'm a passionate hunter. That wasn't the goal. It was to explain to them, look, maybe you should vote a different way, Maybe you should think about in the United States that we have the Pittman-Robertson Act, and we need to protect that like crazy because that's keeping our habitats out there. Wildlife, everything else, that we don't hunt is out there because of hunters and shooters.
Absolutely. Well, that's remarkable that she had a change of heart and that you essentially convinced her of the value of hunting in wildlife restoration. Now, let's back up a little bit and hear what happened in Mozambique. I mean, we know here in North America that early settlers did a number on the bison and other wildlife species, wild turkey, prairie chickens, and others, and then along came the conservation model that we talked about. How did wildlife and the habitat get damaged in Mozambique?
Across Mozambique, it happened the exact same way. But if you look at Catata 11, which is what I focused on, it was a very narrow focus in one sense. I mean, it's half a million acres, and so it's a big chunk of land there with no fence around it. But what happened was, in 1975, you had the War of Independence from Portugal, and then the Portuguese left, and what happened after that was a 15-year civil war. During that civil war, this was a game-rich area. Everybody in Mozambique knew it was a game-rich area, this whole Zambezi Delta area. The rebels went there. The rebels were outside of the towns and cities, and the government forces who were fighting them were inside the urban areas, okay? So you had that division. The rebels were out there. Cape Buffalo were in the tens of thousands in 1975, let's say, in this area. The sable antelopes would have been in tens of thousands. The water bucks were in the tens of thousands. They did a biological survey, is why we know that, right before this all fell apart. But the rebels set up a meatpacking plant, basically, there, and they just went through and they mowed down everything that was large enough to feed their forces. And at the end of that time, by 1992, at the end of the 15-year Civil War, you had 30 sable antelopes left in this area. You had 1,200 Cape buffaloes left. You had 8 zebras left.
Oh, boy.
Water buck, you had about 250. Since that time, from 30 sable antelopes, they now have, with the hunting model that they have, trophy hunting model that's underpinning this restoration, from 30 sable antelopes, now they have 3,000. From 1,200 Cape buffaloes, they probably have close to 50,000 now. It's been about 5 years since they did their last survey. So there's probably more sable antelopes, too, than 3,000. But anyways, from 1,200, you have, say, 40,000. The water buck went from 250, now they have over 25,000. The zebras went from 8, and now they have 1,300. Those are not the only animals, obviously, that are hunted there. All of the animal populations are at carrying capacity now. The game animals as well as songbirds, and insects and everything has rebounded since this model was put in place.
Well, Mike, that's a great story. We have to take a break here. Will you stay with us and we'll come back and continue talking about Mozambique and your book?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking with Professor Mike Arnold from the University of Georgia, and specifically his new book, Bringing Back the Lions, about the habitat and wildlife restoration in Mozambique. I'm Dan Small. We'll be back right after this with more with Mike Arnold.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Escanaba, and Houghton. We at Remy Battery Company want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the past 90-plus years and your continued support of our local, family-owned company. Stop in and see the expertise of over 9 decades of battery knowledge and customer service. Let us take care of the batteries for all of your needs, from power tools to sump pumps and ATVs to hunting decoys, even down to the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or waters. Don't forget to ask your sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
You wait quietly, but you're getting impatient. It's been 2 hours and still nothing. You hear it. It's close. You see movement, but you sit tight because safe hunting is no accident. With all different hunting seasons open, your fellow hunters could be in a stand, on the ground, or in a blind. Do not shoot at movement. Be aware of what's in front of your target and what is beyond it. Wisconsin DNR. Adventures and memories. Enjoy Wisconsin's wild side.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
6 more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Trucks, trucks, trucks. Home Furniture and Design has truck after truck arriving daily with loads of Lazy Boy furniture. Come in and find a genuine Lazy Boy recliner, sofa, sectional, or power chair to kick back and relax, and take it home with you today. The best recliner available in the world at amazing low prices, and you can pick it out and take it with you today at Home Furniture and Design, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and Post Road in Plover.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections, or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you. Or go to WisCovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net, it scores!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill, bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm talking with Professor Mike Arnold of the University of Georgia about his new book, Bringing Back the Lions. And we're talking about the habitat and wildlife restoration phenomenon that he documents in this book that happened in the country of Mozambique in Africa, in some of the richest game lands of the continent. And Mike, you were talking about how the poachers, who were actually rebels in this civil war, were taking animals and processing them in a meatpacking plant to feed their troops and, I presume, to feed others as well. And that depleted the wildlife resources. What about the habitat? What does that part of Mozambique look like, and what happened to the habitat?
What you have are two kinds of poachers there. The Mozambique folks have the terms wood poachers and meat poachers. And so the wood poachers are cutting down all of the trees. It's not selective harvesting, but they cut down all of the trees to make charcoal, which is what the urbanites use today to cook with. And they've used it for decades and decades and decades. And so in the areas that are not protected by hunting and are not protected right now, in other words, are not cattadas and they're not parks, etc., they look like a moonscape. Okay, when you fly from Beira, the closest airport, large airport, when you fly in there and then you take the helicopter into the cattada areas, the hunting concession areas that are, 45 minutes, an hour away by helicopter, you fly over just denuded land until you hit the concessions, and then the concessions are just rich. I mean, they are canopy forests. They are, and it's, I call it an invisible line in the book. It's almost like one of those buried dog collar electrical lines. That's what it reminded me of. And what you find out is that line where you go from a moonscape, a denuded landscape, to a rich in wildlife and trees and plant life and everything else landscape is because you have anti-poaching there. And that is funded by hunter dollars. And you have also an improvement in the people's lives there so that they don't need to poach. They have food. They have employment. They have through the hunting concessions. That is what it looks like. If you do not protect it, everything disappears. Obviously, if all the plants are gone, all of the animals are gone as well. Everything disappears if it's not protected, if it's not valued.
It's one thing to say hunters' dollars help stop poaching, but what are the mechanics of this? Somebody who shoots an antelope so he can feed his family is probably going to want to keep doing that. How do you convert these former poachers to helpers?
Once again, this is a wonderful model looking at Katata 11s. initially you go in and you're at zero, you know, you're at baseline. You still have the habitat there, fortunately. They did not destroy all the habitat during the Civil War. They destroyed a lot, but they didn't destroy all of it. There's 2.7 million acres of land in this Marumayo complex area that Cotada 11 sits in. What they did, the outfitters go in, and the main thing you have to do first is feed the people. Okay, you have to get them protein. They can get a little bit of carbohydrates out of, you know, their small gardens and that sort of thing, but their protein, just like we were when we landed on the shores here on the East Coast, we ate everything that had protein. You know, you've mentioned this. I mean, we ate everything as we moved from east to west. And so white-tailed deer in Georgia were extinct. Now we have 1.5 million whitetails in Georgia, okay? And those are $100. Now, how does it work in Africa? Well, so in Mozambique, 40% of children are malnourished, and that's actually protein deficiency. And you'll see them with these swollen bellies, and it's called kwashiorkor. And once they hit that point where they're malnourished to that extent, you have cognitive issues, their disease resistance just plummets, and all sorts of different things that are terrible for them. In Cotada 11 today, there is, and throughout the Cotadas that are in that area, there is no protein deficiency anymore, because every time an animal is killed, is harvested by a hunter, portions of that meat, if not the whole thing, goes into the villages. And so the villagers get 10 pounds of red meat per family per week. And then they also have a fishing program that the hunting concessionaires put into place. And so that gives them also meat protein. So you feed the people so that they don't need to poach. And then you employ the people, the poachers in particular, into anti-poaching teams. Because there will be some folks from the outside who want to come in and continue to poach, and so you have to catch them, and you have to clear out the traps and the snares and that sort of thing. Those are your two main activities. Feed the people to begin with, get them protein, and then put into effect anti-poaching teams.
Yes, and it was successful in Cotada 11, and I understand other areas are trying the same system, aren't they?
Absolutely. All of the Cotadas in that area, the 2.7 million acres of hunting concessions that, you know, some border up against Cotada 11 and some are a little bit more distant, all of them have similar models there, and the Mozambique government is applying the Cotada 11 model and actually asking Mark Haldane to take over another Cotada to the south in the dry forest area. They recognize that it's working. It's not just working for the, you know, for the ecosystems. It's also working for the human populations, and the Mozambique government is very excited about that.
Now, as I mentioned at the outset, our listeners aren't likely to go to Africa. I know a few do and a few have, and I've been there myself on a photo safari and a couple of other trips, but I have not hunted Africa. So why should the average American, even a hunting American who cares about wildlife in this country, why should we care about what's going on over there?
Well, I think that because it's the model that we have in the West have given to Africans to utilize, you know, and impressed upon them how we did it. And they have taken that model and put it into play in their own countries. Why should we? Well, I think as hunters in particular, but even as non-hunters, but are interested in seeing habitats restored, human population rejuvenated. I think it's a compelling story that shows what happened in the U.S. actually, or North America, actually works in Africa. It works in Tajikistan. It works in Pakistan, or wherever we're talking about these hunting models. For me, you know, I only began hunting in Africa in 2018, actually. Now, I've gone back and back and back quite a few countries. I got the bug, as Craig Boddington says, definitely got the bug. But just reading about it has always fascinated me. You know, it's always excited me. I like adventures and adventure stories. And so, I think we ought to care on a lot of different levels. But for me, it's adventure stories. I still go back and reread Ruark and Teddy Roosevelt's, Craig Boddington's books. I just find them captivating. That's why I think we can take a book like mine, give it to our non-hunting friends and say, look, take a look at it. I'm not trying to change your mind, but take a look at it and see what hunting can do, hunting dollars, what they can accomplish.
I think you're absolutely right. And I'm a Safari Club member, and I have a lot of friends who are, and I think some of them are probably listening. And folks, this would make a great Christmas gift or holiday gift for the non-hunter or the hunter on your list, wherever you have somebody who might be interested in learning more about the application of the North American wildlife management model in Africa. We can buy the book, I presume, on your website, MikeArnoldOutdoors.com, correct?
That's correct. You can. You can also find it on Amazon. It's actually also going to be on the Safari Club International book site, too, pretty soon.
Very good. And bringing back the lions, of course, you talked about all the other animals. Why did you choose lions in the title? Why not Cape Buffalo or Sable or Leopards?
Well, one of the things that Mark Haldane and Carlos Faria, his partner in Cotato 11, one thing they're really dedicated to is to see the ecosystems reconstructed to their pre-human disturbance stage. And what I mean by that is they want to see all the animals, all the plants, all the everything back. That's their goal. So one of the animals that they have focused on bringing back were lions. They would occasionally see lions in this area, but the population would never come back without help. And so the Cabela Family Foundation, headed up by Mary Cabela and her son Dan Cabela, have invested literally millions of dollars to reintroduce lions into this area, which seems counterproductive to some of us for a hunting area, because they're going to be eating the antelope
right.
and everything else
right.
and the Cape buffaloes. But Mark knew that. He knew that they were going to lose some animals. Like a sable antelope is worth a lot of money. It's one of the premier game animals to hunt over there. They knew it, but they wanted lions back. They wanted wild Africa to be wild Africa. We were there last year for the reintroduction of cheetahs. Mm. They decided that cheetahs had been there. They've reintroduced cheetahs. Now, the lions will be hunted. Okay, the lions eventually will. They've introduced 24. They're now well over 80. And that's after only about 4 years. And so they are doing really, really well. They will hunt them, but they'll also use them to translocate to other places that need lions. They'll dart them and carry them out. But they reintroduced those. They came from six places in South Africa, actually, six different populations. The cheetahs also came from South Africa and from Malawi. The cheetahs will never be hunted. They wanted these predators there, these top-tier predators, because they used to be there.
Sure.
And it's a part of the ecosystem. So that's why the title's Bring Back the Lions.
And for that same reason, there are a lot of people in this country who are very happy to see wolves returning to the upper Midwest, where they never really left. Here, they came back naturally. And some hunters are agin them, and some hunters are happy that they're there. They are a natural part of the complete ecosystem, and predators have a role. And that's the argument that people have for presence of wolves, presence of lions and leopards and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, that whole list, you know.
That's correct. It really is. I mean, the predators are part of that food chain and part of the ecosystems. We have to be mindful, and they have to be controlled in numbers somehow. The cheetahs, they'll have to translocate because they're not going to be hunted in Cotato 11. The lions can be hunted, outside of prides and that sort of thing, and they can be translocated as well. We have to be mindful that these habitats are all disturbed. They're all limited in carrying capacity, so for whatever kind of animal it is.
Yep. When you were out there with a group that was tracking leopards and trying to catch them and collar them to monitor how they were doing in that area, you were running through the brush one night and you lost your glasses. Did you ever find them?
No, sir, I did not. When I've gotten back to the camp, my wife's in the tent, and I get into the shower, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to explain to my wife that I lost $600 glasses because they were my prescription glasses. Fortunately, I had another pair with me. I said, "Hey, hon, you happen to know where my other pair of glasses are?" And she said, "Why?"
Right.
No, I have no clue. They're somewhere out there in the Ombo Forest. Yeah, they got ripped off of my face, and I didn't even know it. It was pitch black. I had a headlamp on, but I didn't even realize I'd gotten them pulled off.
Well, maybe some baboon found them, and he's been wearing them.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
It's probably the case.
Well, folks, if you want to read about that adventure and much more, including this very remarkable story of the restoration of habitat and wildlife in this part of Africa, you've got to get this book. It's called Bringing Back the Lions by Mike Arnold. His website is where you can buy it, MikeArnoldOutdoors.com. And Professor Mike Arnold from the University of Georgia, thank you so much for sharing so much of your story and for writing this book and for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Dan. I've really enjoyed it.
I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Have more success on the ice with the LiveScope Plus Ice Fishing Bundle LI from Garmin. Drill fewer holes, catch more fish. This portable live sonar bundle comes with the LiveScope Plus system, EchoMap UHD 93 SV display, and a lithium battery, all packaged in a case, making hole hopping a breeze. LiveScope Plus helps you find more fish with improved resolution, reduced noise, clearer images, and better target separation. Fill your freezer with fillets with help from Garmin. Visit Garmin.com or shop your local Garmin dealer today.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth Gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Winterizing supplies are in stock. I hope you've winterized or are really close to doing so by this point, but they can do it for you as well if you haven't. Check out their website and Facebook page for details. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, the world's leader in wetland conservation, a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio, and duck hunters everywhere at ducks.org.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing in your area now, and that's for most of Wisconsin as well as some of the outlying states, I'm not sure who's airing the show now besides Milwaukee PBS, but you can watch it on Milwaukee PBS at the normal times, and you can watch past episodes there as well. And this year's Deer Hunt Wisconsin show is archived along with recent shows in that series on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel. And you can find a link to it on my Facebook page.
The radio show that you hear right now can be downloaded and taken with you wherever you go. Go to lake-link.com and scroll down to the bottom. You'll find the Outdoors Radio tab, and you'll be able to click on that and then find Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Download the show and listen at your leisure. Find Dan online at Dan Small Outdoors across the social networks, and find me at Hardwater Jeff.
I'm Dan Small. I'm here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend, folks, and remember the firearms deer season is still open, then the muzzleloader season, then the statewide antlerless hunt. So wear blaze orange if you're outside at least through December 11th. Be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.